Culture the Breakdown.
Yes.
All right. This is episode 23, talking about music, me successful. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. What up, Talk By T? I see you in the building early. David, what up, bro? I see you in here. Okay. Miss Betty's in the building. What up? Coming from the What's up, y'all? We got a lot going on today. It's a lot of dope people on the bill. And we about to get into these conversations. It's about to be all the way lit and turned up.
Yes.
Okay. And if you're not lit and turned up, you have to go home.
Yes.
Most of y'all already are home, right?
Yes.
Cool. No problem. So we're going to have a good time. What up, Talk By T? How we feeling today? Man, Talk By T just released a new visual that was dance-based. And y'all definitely got to watch that. It's all the way lit and turned up.
Yes.
Yo, it's Chatty Boys in the building. What up, Chatty Boy? What up, bro?
Yes.
Okay. That's what. All right. That's what I'm talking about, Chatty. Oh, officially two in the building. What up, Shanice?
Yes.
All right. Can you invite me? No, not today, sweetheart. It's not that kind of show. All right.
No.
We're not doing that kind of show. It's really who you see on the bill is who's on the bill tonight. We about to get a kick started with Angua IV. He's not on here yet. Not a problem. We'll just wait a little second.
Yes.
All right. But in the meantime, let's have a real conversation. What up, Shanice? I see you in the building. Everybody say what up to Shanice, y'all. Yo, Talk By T, we are definitely all the way live.
Yes.
Okay, we live. All right, we live. All right, for the God. What up, bro? Drop a comment. Listen, if you don't follow me, make sure you follow me today. It's free.
Yes.
Okay, listen, if you want real good content, I'm all about quality. Let's have a real conversation real quick while Angle will get on here. I'm all about quality, all right? I'm tired of seeing these popcorn, microwavable artists slash entrepreneurs come out here and put bullshit in the forefront.
Yes!
It gotta stop. And we can't have it no more.
No!
Okay? Artists, if you a singer, if you a dancer, if you a poet, if you a lyricist, put your best foot forward.
Yes!
Or you gotta stand down. It's not for you. You gotta back up off of it. Am I wrong? Oh, what up, GN Fitness? How we feeling today?
Yes!
You gotta put your best foot forward. I feel like you gotta put quality. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Guinness World Record holder, right? Shameless plug. And it took a lot of work to even get that badge. You gotta really work for what it is that you want. You know what I'm trying to say? Ain't no microwavable, ain't no popcorn, ain't no counterfeit, Xeroxing, we plagiarizing, copying.
No.
It's out. It's all the way out. And if that's what you're doing, we calling you out. Alright?
No.
We ain't having it. So now, it is free. Absolutely. Alright? Facts, everybody. This is what we talking about. Quality over quantity always. No matter. I'd rather you put out one dope track than try to put out 28 whack tracks, okay?
No.
Stand down. All right, Englewood, we on here? Yo, okay, not on here yet. I understand as well.
Yes.
So, let me ask you this question real quick. Can you be born a hustler? Oh, I see Englewood is on here. All right?
Yes.
But can you be born a hustler? You know what I'm saying? Is that something that's... you could be taught, or you gotta be born with that innate ability to be a 100% hustler, go getter. I gotta go get. Let's get into it. I'm loud. What up, Alexis? I see y'all. How y'all feeling?
Yes, sir.
What up, bro?
Yes, sir. What's up, man?
I'm good, man. Welcome back to Breakdown, bro.
Huh?
Welcome back to the show.
Man, thank you for having me back up in this motherfucker, man. What's the dilly?
Man, of course, bro. Listen, if y'all don't know, we got Inglewood IV on the live right now.
Yes, sir. Fresh. I'm still in my van and everything, boy. That's how you know I get it in.
Okay. So tell the people who you are and what you do, my brother.
So I am a rapper, songwriter, working on to soon becoming a producer. Inglewood IV, straight out of Inglewood, California. If you guys haven't tapped in, you guys be sure to tap it in on Netflix. It's a show called Rhythm and Flow, hosted by T.I., Cardi B, and Chance the Rapper. It's been out for a while now, but it's still trending on Netflix, so y'all be sure to go ahead and tap in and lock in with that already, you know. Big shout-out to Nipsey Hussle. Big shout-out to Jesse Collins for the opportunity. And, yeah, man, we here. We live, man. I'm live with Jerz right now. What's the dilly?
What's the dilly, yo?
What's the dilly?
I, my brother, man. Talk to the people about how you even got, you just listed so many things that you was a part of. It's just a short snippet, but bring it back for them just in case they ain't never knew. How did you get into the game?
Well, you're talking about the show, right?
No, how did you get into the game before you even got into the show?
Bro, honestly, I'm going to keep it real with you, bro. I was always into music, bro. My moms, my pops, bro, my uncles, bro, they like just Sundays just cleaning up, bro. Music just, somebody said corny as shit. What? Who's this guy? Whatever. Nevertheless, it really peaked off for me when I had a neighbor, bro. I had a neighbor by the name of Sugar Booger, dog, and he actually built a studio in his back house, and he's like my next door neighbor, bro. And that was an opportunity for me because he was such a local legend, you know, as far as the music goes, as far as Inglewood goes. Yeah, he got a couple of hits out, and I was just like, we just connected, man. He found something in me that I didn't even know that I had, and he helped me put out one of my singles, helped me put out my first video, and from there it was just like, bro, it was go time.
Definitely. So then, like,
baby 22. Damn, we ain't gonna dress you. We not even gonna dress you.
Listen, we ain't okay.
No,
we're not gonna do that.
All right, so now let me ask you this now. How old, bring it back to like young Inglewood, like how old was we at this mine? Like, where was we at in the dome?
Oh boy, man, young Inglewood, bro. Young, I would definitely say like around like eight or nine, man. Back then, I was listening to music, bro. You know, the internet wasn't popping like that, bro. So, you know, you couldn't, if you want to know the lyrics to a song, bro, you couldn't, it wasn't just easy as accessible as it is now, man. So what I would do was, I would take my notepad, bro, and I would listen to the song over and over and write the lyrics down myself, or at least what I think I heard, and rehearse them. And that became a program to me to the point where, like, damn, why am I always repeating and reciting everybody else's stuff, bro? I could do this myself. And that's when I first picked up the
phone.
Like, yeah, this is it. This was it for me.
Yeah. So now, all right. So now you mentioned all this, and I feel your energy. How important was it for you to be good at what you did, though? Like, how, like, when did you start to be like, yo, I gotta actually spit real bars?
Honestly, dude, it was like that from the jump. It was like that from the jump, dog. Like, I felt like there was no one in my age group that was into music the way that I was. And I felt like, damn, this could possibly be an opportunity for me. And I remember, I think I was like 13 or something like that, 13, 14. My moms and my pops on my birthday, they bought me a beat machine. And that was like the best fucking gift ever. Once I got that beat machine, I knew my parents believed in me. And that's when I knew, I'm like, I can't let y'all down. I got to believe in myself just as much as my parents believe in me. Because my parents had more belief in me than I did. They had more belief in myself than I did my own self. You feel me? So once I got that beat machine on that birthday, bro, it was like, okay, you got to go for real now. You got. We froze. Jerz.
Yeah,
can you? Yeah, I hear you now. You broke up for a little bit.
So I'm saying, who did you look up to as inspiration? Like, who was your people that you was like, ah, the way that he rap, I'm about to feel
that's easy. That's easy, bro. Back, like, bro, it's T.I., Ludacris, and Nelly, dog. T.I., Ludacris, and Nelly. Don't get me wrong. I had a long list of favorites from the Andre 3000s to Tupac's to the Biggies and shit like that. But it was like what struck me was those three artists in particular, bro. Especially Ludacris, bro. He just had a sound that couldn't be imitated, bro. He had a sound that couldn't be imitated. He had a characteristic about him when he delivered his music that just could not be imitated. Kind of like an E-40. It was like if you hear somebody rapping like E-40, you know where that came from. And it was the same thing with Ludacris. And he was such an entertainer, man. From his lyrics to the content to the videos, it was like he was dope. He was dope as fuck. T.I. just had a swagger about him that I just wanted to be like. I wanted to be like that. And when I got on the show, a lot of people asked me so much, you know, why were you so sensitive? Why were you crying? Like, you don't understand. Like, from 9 years old to 30 years old, bro, I looked up to this man, bro. So it was like being in front of you, actually doing what I take passion and I take pride in, bro. That was groundbreaking for me. So, those three right there. And then Nelly, it was just like, I don't know what it was. I think everybody in my household loved him for Nelly. It was like, you could not go wrong with Nelly, dog. couldn't go wrong with Nelly.
Picks, all them picks is definitely some of my favorites, too, for my generation.
Man, though.
We value quality, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And that's what they gave, man. That's what they gave. And at their time, it was like, even now, like it was hard to find artists that was giving it and doing it like they was doing it. You feel me? Like they was doing it. They was doing it. Did you watch their verses, the Nelly and Ludacris verses?
Nelly and Ludacris, of course, my brother.
Crazy, right, bro? Like, it's like, you like, damn, I didn't even realize y'all had this many hits, bro. They was amazing, dog. They was amazing, bro. To this day, bro, I would still give them, I would still put them in my top five favorite rappers of all time.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like those are the ones that people don't really get all the time.
Nope.
They own the court. So now, let me also ask you, yeah, was your main show. Right.
One more time.
T.I. was a part of the show that you did. What are your thoughts and your opinions of that he's going?
It's mixed emotions, man. It's mixed emotions, but then again, it's like I know how the media works, especially after being on Netflix. I know how they can spin shit. I know this world now, this generation is about a bag. So it's like if you can get it anyway, you can get a bag, people are gonna try to get a bag. And it's fucked up because what I'm noticing now is that people bring up a lot of allegations on certain things that happened years ago. And for some reason now it's like they're able to bring it to light. And when they bring it to light, it's like as if they did it yesterday. You know what, or if it's even true at all, you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah.
And then again, it's like, man, whatever you do, whatever T.I. does in his bedroom, bro, that's what that man does, man. That what he eat don't make me shit, man. Like, it don't change the music that he made, the shit that helped me get through him. So I don't pass no judgment on that, man. I love T.I., bro. Big shout out to Tip, man. Shout out Trouble Man, man. If you're watching Tip, man, what's up?
But there you go, man. So it seemed like, I feel like the world is kind of like turning their back on him a little bit.
Right. Right,
because like the walls are closing in, but right. I feel like everything play out. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So we just wanted to hear from you because you actually know him on a personal level.
Oh yeah, T.I. is my man. That's my man, dog. That is my man.
Dope. You know what? So now moving on now to the next thing, real quick. So, what did Rhythm and Flow actually get you since leaving the show? Do you feel like doing that show was beneficial for you?
In so many ways, yes, and in not so many ways, no. And I say that because it's like, as you can see, bro, I got my Amazon shit right here, bro. It's like it didn't change my life drastically to where like I could stop working a regular 9-to-5, you know what I mean, and live off my music. Nevertheless, it put me in a position to be able to make money off my music. It gave me a lot more recognition as far as like my talent and my creativeness. And it opened so many other opportunities that I mean, I'm still getting to this day, even like just being here with you. You know what I mean? People still Netflix is one of the top media platforms right now as far as television. And for the show to have been out for as long as it has, it's still on Netflix, which means some people are still going, no matter where you're from, some people are just stumbling across it and still checking it out, which means it's never too late for me. You feel me? It's never too late for me. I don't know who's going to see that and be like, damn, you know what? This nigga's hard. Like, it's never too late. So it opened so many doors, man. I am forever grateful, bro, for Netflix and all the producers, Jesse Collins, especially my boy Lauren, man. Shout out to my boy Elbug, man. He was the one who actually he plugged me with the whole thing and how that whole situation played out. I think we discussed it last time, but if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been there at all. I wouldn't have been there at all. So big shout out to them.
That's dope. And you know, I'm sure from your hood too, it's like rare that somebody just get on a TV show. Is that how it is? Like from where you from, right? You know what I'm saying?
Oh God.
Okay, perception that your hood showed you when you came back.
It was crazy, dude. Especially because of how social media is it makes everyone so accessible to you, even if you haven't seen them forever. So like the day that it aired. Mind you, like I said, it's still some people are still stumbling across it, so I get it still to this day, but not as much as when it first aired. And when it first aired, dude, I'm telling you, everybody in Englewood is reposting me, man. Just DMs, and my shit's flooded, bro. At one point, I had like damn near like 1,000 something unread DMs, and I'm just like, damn, bro, like this is crazy. Like this was crazy. And for me, that was like that was an ego stroke. I was like, yeah, you motherfuckers see now. I wanted to be cocky. I wanted to ignore people and shit like that. But moms and pops always told me, man, just stay humble, man. Always stay humble. So, you know, I kept that in the back of my head, and I took it with a grain of salt because this is not the end. It's not the end. It was only the beginning for me, you know?
Facts, man. That's crazy because I could definitely see hunger. You know what I'm saying? Even just remember watching the show because it's been a while now. But it's like, you still relevant out here, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, I am. Most definitely I am. Just so don't get shit confused.
We were just bobbing out to his track, Shoot Me. You know what I'm saying? Like it's still even right now, mad relevant.
Oh my gosh, bro.
I
know where you was going with that, man. And hey, dude, it sucks that it's as relevant as it was as the day as I recorded it. You know what I mean? We still dealing with this shit. And I honestly, that record is probably one of my best records because with everything, with the as much as everything is going on, that kind of makes, hey, me mugging, means something like it means something. That record kind of, with everything that's going on, that record has now become timeless. You know what I mean? It's become a classic because it's not going to stop. It's just not gonna stop. So it's like it's always gonna be able to change someone's perspective when we go through it again, because we're gonna go through it again. We're gonna go through it again, and again, that record's gonna help get somebody over that hump. You know what I mean? It's because it's gonna be relatable for somebody. So I'm sincerely proud of that record.
All right, that's 100% facts.
Proud of that record, man.
I got your music list pulled up right here. If you could introduce a track right now that you got on Spotify, which track would you introduce right now?
If I could, ooh, shit. Honestly, I'm actually about to shoot me a video to one of my favorite records off my Tabula Rasa project, and that would be called All White, featuring my boy McShader.
All White?
All White.
Let me see. Is this one's on Spotify?
Yes.
All White.
Yes, sir.
What is it under?
All White, Englewood IV, one word.
Okay. Oh, got it right here. Here we go. Here we go.
Taking like a proper, huh? Make a go. rats around my neck. These niggas didn't know me about to bust another. I ain't never a banger, but I shut my city. What's up, mommy? My mama in this thing.
Nah, pull it.
Pull up on that, bro.
Yeah.
That one go hard.
Yeah,
man.
Yes, sir.
Nah, that's that all white. Make sure y'all go stream that right now.
Make sure y'all go stream that, man. Tabula Rasa out right now, man, on all platforms, man. Please go tap in with that. Go tap in with that and tell your friends to go tap in with that. You heard me?
My brother, man, fire. Now, listen, what point is it to be, like, 100% grounded in this industry? You know what I'm saying? Like, you see you got your 9-to-5, but you still putting out music. You still keeping this
stuff,
right? But how important is it for you to just make sure you still get your artistry out, but still remain you? You know what I'm saying?
You know what, dude? That's a. I'm really glad you asked me that question, bro. Because that's something that I battle with all the time. And at some point, for a minute, bro, I was out the studio. I was just in the studio yesterday, and that was my first time being back in the studio in almost a year, dog. It's like I feel like I battle with trying to stay relevant with what is out now, but what's out now ain't me. But it's like you have to conform to what's out now to stay relevant, if you know what I mean. I mean, unless you're just going to, you know, fall in the shadows as some type of, like, backpack rapper or some shit like that. It's like everybody got their preference. But to really to reach that point, it's like you gotta conform a little bit. You know what I mean? And just sometimes it's just not me. But nevertheless, music is in me, bro. It's in me, not on me. You know what I mean? It's in me, not on me. So I'm gonna continue to do what I do and make music. And then it's like now, especially after the show, I got people counting on me, dude. I got people expecting me to drop shit. I got people expecting me to stay true to me. So as hard as that is, I won't stop, bro. I won't stop. I can't stop. I can't stop.
100%.
Yes.
100% facts. Now, with you saying that, you saying just being relevant. Like, TikTok is one of those major platforms right now. Mm-hmm. Artists are filtering their music and hoping to go viral on TikTok. How much pressure is it for you to feel like you live a TikTok worthy type track?
The craziest part is, like, bro, you'd be surprised, but I found myself, like, asking for beats, getting beats, like, yo, is this TikTok worthy? Can I do something to this? Can I make this? And then it's like, you know, I got a daughter, bro. My daughter's 11 and she's like an avid TikTok user. I'm like, yo, I'll go to her ass. Like, what you think of this? You think this is cool? Like, you think I could do something with this off TikTok? And she said, yes, daddy or no, daddy. And it's like, then again, that goes back to conforming it or and having the conflict between conforming and staying true to myself. It's like, I don't give a fuck about TikTok. I don't care about TikTok, but I need that. I need that platform if I want to excel any further than what I am right now.
Of course. So you know what? So it seems like you got a mixture of, like, the old school, where you understand it in touch with the new school and willing to make that commitment to make it work for your career.
Yes.
You need it, man. You need the versatility, dude. You need the versatility, yeah. And I feel like that's what a lot of artists nowadays lack. They lack the versatility. They lack the musical knowledge behind a lot of things. I feel like knowing certain artists. You know, I mean, I forgot who I was talking to the other day, and Prince came about, and they were like, "Who is Prince?" And I'm like, "The fuck? Like, damn! Like, you don't know Prince? Like, damn! You don't know Prince? You don't know Purple Rain? Like, damn!" And you know, when people, you know, not saying that you need to know who these older artists are, but you gotta understand, this industry is just, it's a big ass recycle. It's a big ass recycle. Even now, I've never heard as much music out now that's been sampled from older music. And when I ask my baby, so like, hey, do you know where this song came from? She's like, no. You think this is new? Like, this ain't new.
That's crazy. it's 100% crazy, but it's facts. It's the reality. But I'm learning, too, you got to meet people where they at. You know what I'm saying? If you want to make an impact, you got to stay relevant through the era. You just can't.
Absolutely, man. And you know what? I feel like Snoop Dogg, he's done a great job at moving with the time, dog. He's done a great job at moving with the time. A lot of artists that grew up, that came up around him in his time is like, where are you? Where are you? Snoop Dogg has maintained his relevancy through so many different eras of music, And, you know, he's a perfect example of conforming, but also staying true to yourself.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? He's a perfect example of conforming, but staying true to yourself.
Facts. Now,
yes.
What's new for Inglewood, man? What we got to be on the lookout for and what you got coming?
All right. So, I've officially, once I started getting in the studio yesterday and doing everything, man, I'm actually going to start putting up, I'm working on my next album now, which is Brief Intermission 3. We pushing for December. I've got my features lined up right now, which I can't really speak too much on, but when I tell you that shit is going to be fucking crazy, that shit is going to be fucking bananas. So right now I'm really just putting that together. You can definitely expect a few singles from me this year. And honestly, that's about it. And just honestly working on my self-improvement, self-betterment, bro. Self-betterment. I'm trying to stack up these dollars, man. I got to get these coins to fund the shit that I need to do. So, you know, I'm going to be on this Amazon tip for a minute.
Listen, man, you out here hustling and there's no shame to that, bro. You're just making your bread and doing what you got to do to keep it
going. Mando.
Respect.
Yes.
All right, bro. Bless us with a freestyle, my brother. Before you.
All right. Let's see. Check it out. I say, look, I chose the high road, then I drove right up off a cliff and landed in the living room of all my rivals. I be, you could check my vitals. I've been certified since 95, and I could put that on a Bible. Getting sick and tired of niggas capping in line, actually crying inside, because they really know that I go hardest of all of them. Pardon if I hit the artery, Cardi B, and I'm partisan. Part of me is Picasso when I hit the boo fuck Bishop, because I be more Malik with the juice. My energy is so vicious, and the secret's in the soup. And secretly, I do this, DMing old bitches just to tell them that they stupid. You a doofus if you ever thought I wasn't the prize. Now that I'm a different nigga, like I wore a disguise. We had Barton's, I had steak. That bitch ordered some fries. She retarded and she irritated me more than some flies. That's why I keep repellent for niggas blocking development that can kill an elephant in enormous supply. Oh,
bro, you didn't have to body it.
Yo, good looking, man. I appreciate it, family.
Ain't nothing but love and fire for you in these
comments. Bro, man, though. You know it's much worth it, dog.
You already know you family on this show.
Man, though, bro. You know what's up, Jarvis. Good looking on having me, my nigga. I sincerely appreciate it, bro. I had a blast, man. And thank everybody that tapped in, man. I appreciate each and every one of y'all, man. The comments, trust me, I'm watching them as we go along, man. Thank everybody out here that's been tapped in for this interview, man. Big shout out to Jarvis, man. You know, it's all love, man. It's how we're getting down, man. 2021 is going to be big, and 2022 is going to be even bigger for y'all, man. You feel me?
I feel that. Come on, talk that money talk, bro.
Yes. Hey, look, it's big bags, man. It's big bags. That's everybody. That's all we working for, man. Just work for a bigger bag, man. We working for a bigger bag, happiness, peace, and love, dog.
Love. Man, Inglewood, pull up anytime you got something you want to talk about. But you know, we can't.
Until next Mando, time. Bro, you know, bro. I'm only a call away, bro. Reach out to me for whatever, whenever.
Of course, you already know how. All right, bro. Yes, sir.
Hey, man, appreciate you for having me, man. I'm going to get up out of here, buddy.
All right, no worries.
And yes, sir. Bye.
All right, y'all. So that was Inglewood IV coming at you from your show Rhythm and Flow on Netflix. Y'all better tap in because he got bars. Y'all heard just now. This is a joke. It's not a joke, man.
Huh? Nope.
All right, we're about to get Shanice on the live. It's the daughter of a hummingbird. Indie artist. And the overall fashionista. Yo, she body the guy. Yo, Shanice, you body the fashion game out here. Let's stop playing. I started to get Shanice on the live officially. Officially two. Let's get on here and we're gonna figure out how to say this name. But how we feeling though? I see y'all in the comments. What up, Toe by T? David? Adam, what up, y'all? I see y'all. Oh. What up, Shanice?
Huh? Hey.
A coach. You look beautiful.
Thank you. I'm not feeling well, but I'm here.
Okay, you know what? I'm glad that you're here. But you don't look like you're not feeling well.
I disguise it well, I guess, but thank you.
Well, listen, welcome back to the show, and I'm glad that you just, you know, are on here and just blessing us with your radiance. All right? So let's bring it all the way back for the people. This is Shanice's second time on Black Culture, doing the season 2 check-in. I think the last time he was on here was like 5 months ago.
Yeah. It was like knee-deep into the pandemic then.
Literally. So be back. So let's bring it back to people that don't know who you are. Tell them who you are and what you do.
My name is Shanice, better known as 2. I'm a recording artist, author, and now in less than 4 weeks, I'll be a licensed esthetician. And that's what I've been doing since the pandemic, since you talked to me last. I've been in school. And I'm opening a beauty bar in August. So I've been just on my entrepreneur tip, still been doing music. I put out a single called Talk To Me back in March. I did a video that's out on YouTube if you wanna check that out. Like you said, I am the daughter of the beautiful Tweet. And yeah, I just been chilling. I've been on my grind, man.
You've been on your crazy.
Yes, sir.
Literally, we spoke 5 months ago and none of this was going on. I was trying to... You gotta do music again. And now you're like, please, I did a song, and I got a new business, and I'm writing a book, and I'm in school. All of that. Let's bring it back to school first. Let's start off there. So you going to school to be an esthetician. I follow you on the gram. I don't really see you post too much about that. So
I kept it a secret because I'm the type of person, like, I like to manifest things privately first. I like to get in knee deep into stuff.
Yeah.
And now that I'm almost finished, I'll be done in less than 4 weeks. I wanted to share it with the world. So I posted officially my logo and all that stuff maybe a couple days ago. But I've been in school since last July. Of 2019, oh no, 2020, I'm sorry. And it's been such a rewarding thing for me. The pandemic kind of pushed other passions out of me since the world was closed and I couldn't tour anymore. I decided to explore some other things that I'm passionate about. I didn't totally disregard my music, but I was still working on that slowly. So I'm super excited, man, because I'm able to really do some other things that I'm passionate about and help other people reignite the glow with inside themselves. So it's still art to me. It's still something that's rewarding. So I'm excited. Face by 2 is out. We're launching officially August 1st. So,
yo, okay, you out here just collecting all the coins, okay? but we ain't even get to all them spots yet. We still on this esthetician. So, you know what I'm saying? You got a beauty bar that's opening up. Tell us about it.
Well, me and my mother are partnering together. It's Touche Beauty Bar. And we've always wanted to work on something together. There's some other things that we want to do. We want to open up a lounge where we are. But she saw a passion in me like she always does. And she's just like, I want to do this with you. I want to make another dream of yours happen. So we've just been talking about it, and it's manifesting faster than I thought. So, yeah.
Let's go. Now, let me ask you this. This is a business question. Like, do you feel like you can handle going into business with your mama?
We're going to see. I think so. I think honestly, you know, us working on music together brings us closer, but sometimes we butt heads about it because we are both so passionate about it. But when it pertains to my esthetician stuff, like, she's more like a quiet investor. She doesn't know anything about it as far as the medical stuff and the education behind it. She's more so like an investor. So hopefully she won't be in my way and be all up at the beauty bar dancing in the videos. Yes. I think it's gonna be dope though. I'm excited about it. I think it's gonna be an opportunity for us to be closer, you know, and explore other things. So I'm excited.
Dope. You know what? It's really interesting because people always say, you don't do business with your friends and you don't do business with family members. But there is specific people, family member, friend, stranger, that's a specific person that you can do business with. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, I heard you.
As long as they understand the unspoken code. Like, you don't got to, but we doing business. It doesn't have to, you know, break up whatever relationship we have prior. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's dope. And I'm excited to see how this goes for y'all.
So yeah, you got to come get a facial or get a manicure or something on the house.
Oh, where is it going to be at?
We are located in Florida, but I'm also renting a suite in Atlanta. But that's going to be probably earlier next year because so many people in Georgia are like, yo, when you coming down here? I want to get a facial. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm sure it's going to happen soon. So I'm working on that. But right now we're located in Florida. I think for me, like when it's a person like my mother who wants to venture off and get into real estate and business, what person better to invest in than her seed? You know what I mean? Like creating that generational wealth and getting back to that Black Wall Street type of mentality where we're building up communities and it's bigger than ego and it's bigger than what us just as people, but we're also where we live, there was a hurricane and it kind of like pushed all of the low income families out and a lot of job opportunities were gone. So there's a lot of gentrification happening. So for me, I'm forward thinking, like just getting more job opportunities for us melanin people. So it's bigger than my ego. It's bigger than, oh, I'm going to business with my mom. I'm not really thinking about that. I'm thinking about the opportunities that are going to come from us just taking a leap of faith and just, you know, being passionate about something. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And right there. But when you care about other people, it comes back to you.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Definitely. And I feel that. Even through the live, I'm sure everybody watching feels that. Now, Let me ask you this. Now you're about to go into business with your mom. You've been working with your mom, and that's your mama. Are you tired of the comparisons of your mom? Like, are you feel like you're not giving your own identity?
I think now it's more of like a giving flowers type of thing. I think it's dope. Before, I was so adamant about making my own name, but I think now when people bring it up, she's my mom. I can't negate that. You know, that's just like with Solange, like she's made a name for herself, but she can't take away that she's Beyonce's sister. So I think people do it in a very respectful way now, where it's not as disrespectful or disregarding who I am as an artist. People respect my music. I have my own fan base. And I've been able to really establish my own identity in the industry. And then for me, it's not always about clout. For me, it's not always about I'm doing this for a reaction. My motive is always let my art speak. I'm gonna put something out there because I really want to do it and I'm passionate about it. And whatever happens, it just happens. And honestly, this year, things have been coming back to me great, like great opportunities that I haven't even looked for. So I'm grateful for that. I'm not tired of the comparisons. I think my mom is amazing. She's laid a strong foundation for me and my kids and my kids' kids. We just gonna keep that going.
Kids, okay. Well, I'm looking on your gram right now, and you said Tweet 20. If Tweet 2021 was a person, so it seems like you're embracing all of the tweets, Tom, Shanice, / your kids embracing. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta embrace certain things because when you reject certain things, like you kind of do yourself a disservice. That's my mother, and I have to give her flowers regardless of whatever, you know what I mean? And I think in that picture, it's a little backstory, like the cover of her Southern Hummingbird album is that same yellow background that's in that picture, and we both are 31. In her album cover and in that picture that I took, that I posted, we both are the same age. So for me, it's just like, I'm coming into my own self, but I'm also realizing, wow, I look like my mom and I need you, Ma. Like, I know I've been rejecting your help for years because I've been trying to prove a point to you that I could do it. and prove a point to people that I'm not my mother, I'm Shanice. But now it's like, nah, let's do something together. I want you on my album. I want my next single to be with you and Missy. Like, write this song for me. So for me, I think it's even helped heal our relationship too. So yeah, I'm not neglecting that, because I don't want her to feel slighted. I don't want her to feel like I'm being disrespectful. So yeah, it's power and unity. So
boys, come on.
This industry is cruel too. So if you got somebody, family, or somebody that's close to you that you trust to walk this journey out with you, figure it out, communicate, and walk it out together, because there's so much divide, there's so much going on in this industry behind the scenes, and there's so many people like depressed. So yeah.
Okay. Well, this
yes.
Unity is the secret sauce to make it through this industry. Now let me ask you this. You are a second-time mom. The first time we spoke, you had just had a baby. You was like, I can't do the interview right now because I'm about to have a baby. And I was like, oh, okay. And now it's like, your baby's about to be walking. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, for real. Like, he about to be walking. He crawling. He got a little man bun now, Dallas. He'll be 9 months next week. So, second-time mom, I'm tired. I don't want no more kids. It's so challenging, because when I had my oldest son, I went from having him to getting signed to RCA to going straight on to a Ty Tribbett. So my mother was really his mom. And I put my first son through what my mom put me through. So in retrospect, it was like a repeated cycle. So I made it my business to kind of like be more present. And thankfully, the pandemic happened. And it was good to me, because I was able to really like find my identity, man, as a mother, as a woman, not even as an artist. And I think when I actually took time to heal as a human being and figure out what I wanted to do, I was able to manifest so many different beautiful moments in my life. And my art was able to be more free. Like, I'm not creating from a bitter place. I'm not creating from a depressed place. I'm creating from being free. And it's such a rewarding feeling. So my son brought resolve to me and healing.
Yes.
It was a horrible experience going through postpartum and things like that. But I pushed through, and he allowed me to figure out who I am. And I'm just ready to hit the world by storm. I know it's open outside, so hey, I'm outside all summer. What's up?
It's definitely outside.
Yes.
I'm outside with it.
It's time to make that money. All right. So, like, with your mom being a grandma now, how is she just being like a grandma to both of your children right now?
She prefers Mimi. She don't like grandma because she still feel like she young. But she's a dope grandma. Like, she be taking care of all of us. Like, she... It's me and her. We both single. So it's kind of like, where we going? What we doing? We went to the park for Memorial Day. We took the boys to the park. So she kind of like my sister/mom. So we have little cute little moments at the house. Like, she's a dope grandmother. She's very tapped in with what's happening with the boys. Very much that protective grandmother. She's like Aiden's mom, my oldest son. Like, he goes to her before he goes to me about anything. So, yeah, she's super supportive when it comes to my kids. So, I appreciate her for that.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yo, yes! It's all love. And at the end of the day, y'all all generations and generations and generations.
Man. No,
y'all,
for sure.
Right. That's just how it's going to be. So, now, let me bring it back to the music. Your mom has put down such quality music that even if she chose not to do a song again, for the rest of her life, she will be good. She's done her
work. Good.
Like, she good. Let me ask you, for you, do you feel like with the quality, the amount of work, the quality of work you've put down, do you feel happy with your legacy so far? Or do you feel like you have a long way to go before you can achieve what you want?
I'll say this. Like, one thing that I learned from my mom and being around Missy and Tim, like, how to establish longevity and put out quality music. And I think our generation, we really don't know the importance of artist development. It's like non-existent now. And like you said earlier, you said something like, I'd rather put one quality song out than 28 corny songs. And I think my mom and them like kind of really drove into me identity and being set apart and doing your own thing. Even if the multitude doesn't understand you, staying true to you as an artist. And I am very adamant about not conforming, not really, you know, y'all talked about the TikTok thing earlier. Those conversations come up in certain studio sessions. But for me, like, I always go back to the foundation. What would Missy think about that? You know, if it happens, if somebody pick up one of my songs and want to do one of them retarded behind dances, cool. But that's not what I'm not going to, I guess, put my creativity in a box for an app. They didn't have that back then. They didn't have Instagram back then. They didn't. And I think Alicia Keys had posted a picture of her in her studio in her apartment. I don't know if you've seen that post. And I think she was celebrating the anniversary of her first album. And that picture gave me chills because that generation before us, they didn't overcompensate. They didn't post beforehand. They didn't have to post to prove anything. And now we're in a generation of oversharing to where by the time our album come out, we don't want to hear it because you've already shown us you in the studio. And I think sometimes discretion helps your rollout. You know what I mean? So for me, I'm very calculated. My mom and Missy have laid a strong foundation. If I move too soon, Missy texting us. Me and my mom and Missy in the group chat, and she like, y'all, I don't think you actually think you should re-sing this song. I don't think this is the right song. So just having those two legends like be on my side and tell me the things that I don't necessarily want to hear because I want to move based on what our generation is doing. They have a formula that has worked, that which is why my mom is still getting booked in 2021 singing songs that came out in. You know, so we have to go back to the basics. It may take you a little time, but you remember back in the day, we didn't even know when artists were in the studio. Oh. And they would be in the studio for months at a time, you know, working on music. You know, they had to work harder. They had to go do album signings. They had to have people sitting out. And I want to go back to that. You know, Sam Ask and going to the CD studio. They were in rehearsals. You know what I'm saying? Like, and now our generation want things so quick. They don't want to rehearse. They don't want to create. They don't want to write records. And I'm not knocking anybody. You know what I'm saying? But there's a formula that has worked. And I think we will see less. Every year we see 20 different new artists. And then we don't hear about them no more. I don't like that. I don't want to. And I don't want to say one hit wonders. Because that's whack. No. You can take a break if you want to. But I think music as a whole right now, like, we got to come together and look at what the OGs taught us, what they did for music. You know what I'm saying? That's why you go to parties and you still hear certain records because they're classic. And I'm thinking about 10 years from now, what records will our kids be listening to? So I'm so grateful. I didn't mean to ramble, but I'm so grateful for my upbringing and my mom, even the silent lessons that she's taught me, even from her things that she's went through in the industry has really taught me how to move in this business. And that's why you may not see a lot of music from me, but I'm very focused on that one quality versus putting out a whole bunch of just random stuff. That's never going to be me, yo. I'm sorry.
Okay, but yes, that's what it's about. I'm, again, creative director. I work with a lot of artists. And mm-hmm. A lot of them reach TikTok success by action.
Yeah.
By accident, yeah. And they get in the rehearsal, and I'm like, yo, we're not about to really be doing this. This is not TikTok. Yeah. Really. You know what I'm saying? Can't go on. That's bullshit.
And yeah,
you got stamina. You got to know how to perform. You got to know how to actually have breath control. There's a lot that goes into this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like people just take the quality out of music because it's so clout.
And it's kind of disrespectful because artist development is so layered. It's from dancing. It's from how you record. It's how you perform. It's how you talk, how you handle yourself in interviews. Like, it's such a layered thing. And I think this generation is just like, they want the results, but they don't want the work for it. They don't want to work for the results.
Yes.
And I'm the type of person, put me in the rehearsal hall with a choreography. I want to do a live show. I want something that's dope. Like, I love to perform. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why you see a lot of artists that don't know how to perform now. They know how to post great content. But when it's time to execute, it's like, bored. I'm bored.
What do you think about these new girls that are out right now in music, specifically rap? Let's talk specifically about Sweetie. You know what I'm saying? She is a rapper, but I get that major performance ability. What are your thoughts? And then she said that she was going away to a boot camp, going for a while because she got to get her stuff together. What do you think about all of that and even putting music out if you're not even ready to perform?
Okay, let me just say this. I am an icy girl, okay? I love Sweetie. I don't know. It's just something about her spirit for me that's workable, even if the music doesn't connect to everybody. There's something about her heart, and I feel like she can get with the right person. The fact that she's identified that, okay, I could be stronger in this, that's an artist that I respect and I could work with, because she's not out here thinking she just arrived, you know what I'm saying? Like, again, accident, some things, people get success that they're not prepared for and they got to catch up. Like, oh shoot, I didn't expect that song to go number one, so now I gotta level up to be a number one artist, you know what I'm saying? And people like Doja Cat, I love the work ethic. SZA, like, I look at work ethic. Even if you don't connect to the music, you gotta look at the heart and the consistency of certain artists. Cause the wave has changed. We can't get mad at what they're doing because we've changed the standard. You know what I'm saying? Like, certain people I don't think will last in the 90s or early 2000s. It was just a different type of frequency that artists, in a different type of demand and level that people had to reach. A lot of these people wouldn't be famous. A lot of them, it's easy to get. First of all, you don't even need a deal to be successful. You don't need certain big wigs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need a good record and good content, and you could do that with your phone. You know what I'm saying? So you can't really knock. I can't knock people for what we've created, the culture that we've created, and how easy and accessible it is. All I can say is, as artists, because it's so easy, you have to continue to reinvent yourself and level up. Just because the standards are low, don't mean you have to be a low standard artist. Mm-hmm. Arise above that. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, I'm gonna keep challenging myself. That's just like when I used to run track. Like, you know, you have the little, what do you call it? The little things that you jump over, the little hurdles. Like, I want the ones that's taller than me. If I can already jump over real fast, like, I don't want quick success. I just don't, because you gotta keep conforming to get up there, to stay up there. You know what I'm saying? So I want music that's gonna last, even if it takes it 12 years to get where it needs to get, I don't care. So I'm just, my mindset is different. And, you know, I'm encouraged and inspired by a lot of these newer artists, but I don't think it's their fault. I'm not going to put all the blame on them, because we've, somewhere along the line, we've changed the standard. So you can't knock them.
Well, and I do think that somewhere along the line, we did change the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Our responsibility to change the standard back.
Yes. Yeah.
Prince, Michael, let's bring back quality to the forefront. If you could really sing, let's pull up. You know what I'm saying? No matter how you look, Kelly Price can still blow. Faith Evans can still blow. All these people that are still universal singers are still universal. Yeah. And I feel like you don't have to look a certain way and be looking like how they want you to look, and with the red and pink and orange and green and all that wig. I feel like sometimes it just cheapens our artistry.
And my thing is, like, you know what I talked to my mom about, like, you had to be original to even break the mold back then. So even if you got the Milli Vanillis or the Colorful Kids or the Backpack Kids or the whatever, you know what I'm saying, we need to normalize great talent too. Again, I feel like everybody is on that same frequency where you're just putting out whatever because whatever is working. But nah, let's normalize hard workers. Let's normalize making the hers number ones and the people that can really sing number ones. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and it's gonna take us to create that culture again where people even feel comfortable, because a lot of people that are substance artists to me aren't getting the appreciation and the flowers that they deserve. There's no way BJ's a Chicago Kid shouldn't be charting. There's no way certain people should not be getting the accolades, and we should be seeing them everywhere. I feel like that's why I'm so happy Jasmine Sullivan's rollout was as successful as it was. She deserved that. But why did it take so long for us to appreciate such a queen like that? You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's the responsibility is on us to change the culture and make even my mother, people like my mom, feel comfortable with putting their music out. We still need that music. We still need, you know, the tweets and the Carl Thomases and the D'Angelos. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's normalize making the OGs feel comfortable and feel safe to present their art. Because that's hard, man. I sit with my mom. She got albums worth of music. But she like, well, I need to put this person on the record for it to get, you know, I got to pull one of the young kids. I got to conform. I'm like, nah, put your music out. Because there's niggas out there that's waiting on that substance. Trust and believe me. You feel me? So it's just a matter of that conversation and continuing that conversation too. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? Facts. And listen, Shanice is dropping a whole bunch of gems today. And she's doing it for me. I'm about to let her.
I'm not trying to preach.
Listen, you dropping gems though. And I feel like it's needed to be said. And these real conversations don't happen all the time. We praise all of these new artists. And that's cool because it's the new wave. But let's not forget about people that really put quality in the forefront. You know what I'm trying to say? And really thought
performers.
Performers, visionaries, creatives, you know what I'm saying? They thought about their visuals. They thought about how they wanted their rollout to, you know, they thought about everything. You know what I'm trying to say? Let's not discredit that. But anyways, let's go back to Talk To Me, official music video on YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. I'll find it on Spotify. It's not on here. How come it's not on Spotify?
I don't know. I think it's under two. It should be under TOU. Talk To Me should be on there. I'm an Apple Music girl, so it should be on there.
Okay. But you know what? Either way, the video was 100% fire, okay?
You like it?
It was like, you in here tying up people and wilding out? Talk to us about Talk To Me and get inspiration behind the project.
Talk To Me, I linked up with, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this Baltimore producer and artist. He goes by the name of King Midas. Y'all have to check his music out. He is super dope, super original. I linked up with him. I did some records on his album that came out last year. And I had just had my baby, maybe like 4 weeks after I had him, I flew out to Baltimore and he played the hook for me. And as soon as he played the hook, he didn't even get to the second round of it. I was like, I need it. Mm-hmm. And we linked up with Micah and his brother Josh Lay and wrote the record. And for me, Talk To Me, even though it's fun, and it's a little risque, the message for me was just being vulnerable. I had just broken up with my youngest son's father. And it was a place of just like, I guess when you get in a relationship and you break up, you feel like, what did I do wrong and why didn't it work? You know, as women, we internalize a lot of things. But instead of letting the breakup control me, I took my power back. And that song is, you know how women, we calling somebody and they not talking to you, like, nigga, you had a classic and you crashed it, my dude. So it's kind of like an anthem for me, but it was a way for me to heal myself through that breakup. It's a personal record, it's a true story, and the album is going to be very, very vulnerable. I'll give you an exclusive.
Okay.
I have a record coming out called Don't Care, and it's very emotional. It kind of tells the whole story of the breakup. We're about to shoot the video, and I'm excited about it. It's an R&B record. It's a slow record. I've been dealing with a little bit of backlash from the producers and some people, like, you shouldn't put out an R&B slow record in the middle of the summer. I'm like, I don't care. I want this song to come out. So if it comes out, well, when it comes out, I need y'all to support it. It's a very emotional record that I'm super excited about. But this album is very, very vulnerable. I'm going to be very transparent. And I'm excited. I'm doing a record with my mom and Missy. So.
Oh, shit. You better stop playing. So, okay, hold on. Vulnerable record, song with Missy and Mom. But before you do that, I want you to introduce Talk To Me right now.
Okay. This is my first single for my album. It's called Talk To Me, produced by King Midas and King Stitch.
Okay. Ooh, yeah.
fire emojis if you're feeling this. That new top tattoo. Let's go, yo.
Yeah.
And if you could see the, hold on 1 second. Yo. Let me say something. If they can see the video right now with you tying this homie up, stepping on him, looking at him like, yo.
Shout out to my homie Ort in OC. He was such a trooper doing that video. I had so many outlandish ideas and kind of compiled them into one visual. I honestly, Pleasure Principle, I took elements from that video. I wanted to pay homage to the women who helped, who created the sound that I'm going for, that 80 Cent sound. We sample a little bit of Prince at the end of that record, if you guys get it. But the video, the first part is me paying homage to Janet Jackson. The second part is Beyonce, I'm paying homage to her. So I'm on the phone, I'm crying. It's still this beautiful moment. And it's just, for me, it's just symbolic of being vulnerable, but still being a beautiful person and still taking your power back and being a strong woman, even though you're having a moment, you know? So I love the video. I can check it out. It's on my page. It's on YouTube. So yeah.
Listen, that video is 100% fire. I co-signed that. Okay. All right. That's 100% facts. And you know what? It's visually pleasing. I love just being a beautiful artist, just be a beautiful artist. And I feel like you owned it. You know what I'm saying? Like from the first part from the Janet, when you were saying to me, I seen it, and then how you transformed into Beyonce with the phone and the makeup.
Yeah.
You really did that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Kudos.
Huh?
Okay. I said you did that.
Oh, thank you. My son toy's going off. I had to come into another.
Where they at? They right there. They can say what up to the live room.
My oldest son with his dad and the baby sleep, so I had to come somewhere else so he couldn't hear me.
No worries. I understand. So now, talk to us about the new track you got coming out with your moms and Missy and what we should expect from that.
Well, I honestly felt like it was time to redo the two of us, but more mature and have a record where me and my mom, it's time, it's overdue. The first record that we did together, I was like 12. I'm 31 now, so it's gonna be a fun record. I have some other collaborations that I'm working on manifesting, so I'm super excited about that. So we'll see. I'm taking my time though. I'm not in a hurry because I think that putting the right music out versus putting fast music out is very pivotal. It's very important. So I'm taking my time. It's not going to be much longer, though. But once I get the beauty bar open, because you got to understand, like, music for me, I'm super passionate about it. But because of the new wave and frequency, it's pulling more out than it's pouring in for me. So it's kind of like I had to take a step back and say, okay, does this make sense financially? Emotionally, am I ready to pour out everything and not really know if the return is coming? So for me, I had to really make those hard decisions. I wanted to do a powerful visual for Talk To Me and let people marinate on that for a little bit and buy myself some time. So I'm only going to move when it feels right. So it feels right to put another record out right now.
Yes!
Let's see.
You got to move when it feels right, be this. Yeah. Shanice, you've been doing music for so long and you've been just in this game for so long. Do you feel like you just overall get the credit that you deserve as an artist just by putting in all your mentals to your visuals, the type of songs, the tours you've accomplished with Solange? You've done so much in your career. Do you feel like you get the credit?
Yeah, I do. I give myself the credit because sometimes I have to take a like a trip back to memory lane and realize like you really have been doing this since you were like 14. Like I've been actively like full time doing music since I was 18. So it's just been a long journey. I've been able to be on stages that were in my wildest dreams, and I don't take those things lightly at all. I've been able to travel and meet some of my biggest idols and inspirations. Even though I think I call certain things like the non-negotiables. Like, of course, like I don't really seek to win a Grammy. I don't really care about Billboard charts like that. But I care about the people. So to hear people come up to me and say, okay, your voice did this, or when I seen you live, or you actually took time to shake my hand and come talk to me, like the stories that I hear is kind of more rewarding than waking up to a number one record, because that's not why I create. I create to see people's lives being changed through art. And if anything that I release is helping people change a narrative in their life, or I've been through so much. So a lot of the times my heart is catered to creatives. So hearing a creative say, hey, I saw you live, or I met you, and hearing your story stopped me from committing suicide too. Like, what? That is way better than waking up to my song chart. Yeah. I don't care about that. Somebody's life, you know what I'm saying, was changed just from an encounter with me. So I do feel like I get the credit, and I'm still a work in progress as an artist. So I don't really see myself as an artist. I see myself as a vessel. God put me on this earth to be a vessel and be a help to his people. So, yeah.
Let me ask you this. How do you make your money? Being just, you know, as a business entrepreneur, as a businesswoman, the music pay the bills for you. And do you feel like you're ready to expand into other ventures? Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I've had multiple streams of income since I was 25. I thought that was something that I needed to establish early on. And honestly, if you think about it, no artist, I don't think, is solely making their money from music. So I always tell artists to, until your music can fund your life, you need to be having other things going on, because your music is going to take a lot of resources from you. So keep that 9 to 5. You know, when I was on the road with Ty, I was still working in corporate America. I had just released my book and I had some other opportunities going on. So I would literally get off the plane and go clock in, you know, until God was able to get me on a bigger stage, you know, and Solange was able to demand time from me because she was paying me a salary that was worth me leaving everything behind. So no, music isn't the only thing that I make money from. So that's why it was so important to go back to school and become an esthetician and open up my salon. I've always been a businesswoman. I've always been somebody who was forward thinking. So for me as an artist, that decision to put my music on a back burner was a business decision for sure. Like I hear people all the time, like, when are you gonna put the music out? When it can help me not have to do other things, okay? Cause I know so many people that are prideful, and because of social media, they'll rather sleep on a blow-up bed than go get a job. But for the name of the sake of music, like, you don't have to be a starving artist. You need to be a smart artist. Work smarter, not harder. And a lot of the times people don't want to go get no jobs, but go get a job, sweetheart. I was clocked in. Like, baby, don't play with her. And I always tell younger artists that tell me all the time, like, I'm gonna quit my job. Are you sure? Can you still do music and maintain a 9 to 5? Your answer should be yes. Everybody should be clocking in, because nobody is Beyonce. Beyonce doesn't just make money off music, honey. She got Ivy Park. She got all types of other investments. So until your music can fund your life, you need to be funding your music through a 9 to 5, because it's expensive. Visuals are expensive.
Yes.
Clothing is expensive, especially for women. Studio time is expensive. Everybody's not giving you free studio time. Producers, visuals, rehearsal space, all that stuff adds up. That one video alone cost me like $4,000. And, you know, and that was a buddy system. Like, okay, you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But normally, if you want a decent video of substance, especially for a solo female independent artist, my creative director was like, you need to set aside at least $7,500. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Baby, no. So for me, it was just like, girl, go to school and don't let nobody pressure you out of keeping a job and keeping your funds intact. So she works. She's going to work.
Go to school. You were so funny. But, you know, listen. But, you know, I feel like a lot of people don't want to hear the reality of things. And, you know, for these microwavable TikTok stars that are popping off right now, it may look great right now.
But oh, yeah.
Or 3, even 2 years. What's the game plan when the fizzle burns out? Because just because you go viral off a trend, me and you can do a trend right now and go viral.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Right?
But what's the, if that's not
you
your
gotta, you got to think about, you know, I was talking to the producer. He said, you can't live in this moment. You got to be thinking 3 moments from now. A lot of times people live in that, the moment of right now. But you need to be thinking about what you're going to do a year from now, 3 years from now. What is 5 years from now? And even if you're going to be the artist that gets on the TikTok wave or the social media wave, make it work for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, get those little investments and get those little connections going. I can't be doing the flat tummy tees and the, you know, certain things. And I'm not knocking nobody that do, but that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of... Go get a job, sis. It's okay. Nobody's going to judge you, but I'm judging you sleeping on somebody's couch when you have the resources to go do what you need to do. Because music is not doing that to you. You're choosing to do that. And for me, I just, her, this one, I can't. I'm just.
Yes.
All right.
No.
Aaron, her.
You know what? Now, talk to us about the Versus battle. Have you been watching the Versus battle? And I know that you just posted on your Instagram too that Kim and Swiss just went off and they played your mama's tune. But have you been watching?
Yes, I have. Now, I missed a lot of the SWV and Escape one, and I was really hurt about that. I need to go back and look. I think I had some. I was in school late. Like, I've been doing doubles in school. Like, I'm in school from 9 to 3, but I also go back at 5, and I don't get out to like 9 or 10 sometimes. So, like, she be busy. So, I missed it. I don't know what I had going on. I think I was in school or something, but I need to go back. But I've been tapped in, honey. Like, I did see Uncle Tim play my mom. I posted that. I love the Earth, Wind & Fire and Icy Brothers one. Oh, my goodness. My mom knew all the records. I'm trying to think what my favorite one has been so far. I loved all of them. I'm trying to think. Ugh. What was your favorite one? Let me try to remember which one that I liked the most.
It was Beanie Man and Bounty Killer. That was dope.
That then, one was hard. They went off.
It was Nelly. And Google IV was talking about Nelly and Ludacris. That was dope.
Yeah, that was a dope one, too.
SWV Escape, even though you missed it, that was...
Okay. I was getting my life with Method Man and Red Man, though. Because, listen, Method Man is my husband in my head. Like, he is fine. I was getting my life.
Method Man, twice your age.
I know. It's all right. It's all right.
He still looks good. Listen,
you so funny. I really want another female one, though. I really want, like, a Chaka Khan and Anita Baker or somebody, like, some classic queen. Excited about that. So we'll see.
Yeah, good one. That should be a Soulja Boy and Bow Wow.
That should be funny. I literally, my name, remember AOL Messenger? I was Lady Shad Moss for a long time. So I was a diehard Bow Wow.
So you ride with Bow.
Yes.
You're so funny. So now let me ask you this. With R&B music, do you feel like, because you're like a, like I mentioned before, you were like an R&B, a music connoisseur, right? And I gave you that title the first time because the way that your music is displayed, it's very eclectic. So you have influence from R&B and jazz, house and techno, and there's so much influence in your music, you know what I'm saying? That's what makes you a connoisseur. I wasn't just saying that because really, I really dive into it. And I want to know if you feel like R&B is dead. You know, do you think that?
Baby. First of all, he said he need to find somebody to do a versus with Joe. Joe is literally my favorite male vocalist ever. Like, I don't know why they keep playing with my man, but Joe can sing his behind off. And I don't even know who they would get to do it. Joe and what, Tyrese or somebody? Yeah, that would be kind of dope.
Or Tank. Tank would be good.
Tank would be fly too. Yeah, so that we need to make that happen. But is R&B dead? I would say no, because the people who have the formula to R&B are still yet alive. So it can't be dead, because we still have people who hold the true essence of R&B. I would say that the demand of it is a little weird to me, or the lack thereof. Like, I just don't understand why we're still, well, I'm a 90s girl, I'm a 90s baby, so I'm gonna crank my 90s playlist. That music is just classic. And then you double back to the 2000s with Confessions by Usher, Brandy Full Moon. Like, it was just a certain type of wave that those artists were on. It was consistently good freaking music, man. Like, it was albums.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've created, like I said, a different culture where it's a lot of singles. It's just a lot of stuff. Like, to be honest with you, I feel like real rap is kind of like a little shaky too.
Okay. All right. Stop playing.
Let's talk about that. Like, so I think across the board, music, the standard is, the gospel is a little weird now, you know.
It's not
giving what it used to give. You know, where's Mary Mary? We need a J Moss album. It's just certain people need to come back and keep, you know what I'm saying? Like, the only thing that may be still consistent is country music, but everything else to me is just not giving what I feel it needs to give. And I feel like we're expecting her to carry a whole genre by herself, and she can't. She's not even true to me, real true R&B. She makes it do what it do. But I mean, there's still that hip hop. You know, I want to bring back the world where bridges are a thing. Let's make bridges a thing, where that transition back from the second verse, second hook to a bridge, and as the musical changes. And oh my God, like, I miss it.
Do you understand that we had Ashanti, Ciara, Beyonce, Alicia, all in the same era? So this is why it's consistently good music. It wasn't like one came first, one came second. They were all out at the same
time. At the same time, giving us great A music. Like, A Marie had a dope ass album. Oh, Ashanti had substance music. Like, and we can always, when it boils down to preference about, okay, can she sing? Is she my cup of tea? But she put out good music. I wouldn't give damn if the girl can.
Yes.
Keisha Cole albums. Quality. Quality music. Yo, Carrie Hilson.
Versus Ashanti. That was a verse.
Man, I was just like, wait a minute. What is going on? Like, Keisha Cole's albums were just from song one all the way through. Like, Joe versus Carl Thomas would be absolutely amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
I miss Carl Thomas. Like, come on, man. Like, Summer Rain and Emotional. Like, those records, when something told a story. And my mom was saying, like, some of these artists ain't been through nothing. That's why they ain't talking about nothing. They not singing about nothing, because they haven't went through anything. Even rappers, storytelling, like, we had 50 Cent. They was telling stories. Like, I miss it. I'm sorry. I just miss it. I get passionate and I will ramble for hours because I miss it. I miss music.
And so do I. But now, when it comes to your music, how important is it for you to get support from friends, family, and whoever your significant other is? Or can you do it all by yourself?
I've been doing it by myself, baby. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important, especially now, you know, being a mother. I definitely want to settle down and get married. So who wouldn't want a man that's on the side of the stage, pumping to the tunes at the function? But for me, like, I don't put that pressure on my friends. But the support has been unwavering with my close friends and my mom. I need all the good energy, all the good vibrations, and I welcome that. And if people can't support me, I feel like support and love is loud. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of, I don't really respond.
Do you feel like, let me ask you this, do you feel like you want our friends and family to support you because it's you? Or do you feel like they have to, because think about what do you support? You support things that you genuinely want to see.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Right? Your friends and family, should they be obligated? Because even I'm learning this about me. Like, mm-hmm. should they be obligated to, like, share, like, comment, shoot from the rooftop all of your stuff that you're doing? Or is it like, yo, if you fuck with me, you fuck with me?
Mm-hmm. I think, like I said, support is loud. So when I feel like you took the energy to screenshot or copy a link to my post and send it to my text messages or my DMs instead of just commenting or reposting it, that's when I be looking at people like, you, who are you afraid to show that you really support me, or you really don't fuck with me like that? You feel what I'm saying? But I don't put that pressure on my village, but my village already know what's up. When I post something, they don't have to repost everything, because like I said, I don't create for a response. But it feels good to have solid ones that's going to support no matter what, whether they like the song, whether they understand it, whether they get what I'm doing, they're going to support it regardless. And I just feel like that just comes with, and then my friends are cool enough to be like, I don't like that. I don't think that's the one. So the reason why I even put out Talk to Me was a record that was sitting for months and months and months. And I randomly sent it to my sister, and I sent it to my mom too. Like, yo, this is what I'm sitting on. Like, this is what I was working on. And my sister was like, yo, that's next level. Put it out. Like, that's a great record, you know? So if it wasn't for my sister really pushing me to put that record out, I would have never put it out. So people are very vital, instrumental people like that, to help you make or break certain decisions. So, but if nobody don't support me, oh well, I'm gonna still rock it out.
So now, how about your significant other? How about your boo, whoever your homie is that you got in your corner? This
where year? He at? Because he missing action. I need one. You got a friend, a homie, a brother, yep. Or something.
Well, listen, I may have some friends for you. You know what I'm saying? But shoot. But let me say this though. Are you the kind of person that can just allow him to just not be 100% into you, and you will be fine with that?
I don't know if I'd be fine with that. Because honestly, like, you know, in my lifetime, when it comes to dating, like, I have a lot of guys interested or like to pursue me, but they can't handle all that comes with me. So it's a lot of the times where they see what really comes with me. And sometimes it's been niggas trying to get in who are artists, and they just want to be with me because of who I'm connected to. So I've been like having to decipher, like, are you really down? Are you really? But I'm not really going to put pressure on my man to be industry savvy, if that makes sense. But he got to be a writer for me. Like, you got to come to these shows if you available, because I want a busy man. Nigga, that's productive, that's doing something with his life. But what woman as an artist wouldn't want to? You see Jay-Z on the side of the stage pumping Beyonce up, so surely little Jack can be on the side of the stage supporting me and pumping me up, baby, period.
that is on point. But I'm gonna say this though, how often can you find a B in a J? And I feel like that is such crazy standard to live up to, and everybody's trying to find that, especially as artists, right? It's like, yo, I'm looking for a B, you looking for a J. How often you think you're gonna find that?
Never. I've been attracting pastors, child. Some on me. I can't I can't get the pastors away from me. Ooh, get away. The men of God be flocking at me. But I don't even want to date an artist. I did that before. I dated a producer before. So I just want somebody with good energy. I don't care if he a dancer. I don't care if he paints. Good energy is just good energy, and that's what I'm trying to manifest. Somebody who has like the same likes and desires as I do. So yeah, Beyonce and Jay-Z, they just something that's different, man. Like, so even setting yourself up for that expectation, you're gonna fail every time, I feel like.
Okay, that's a fact. Now, yes. Let me ask you this. Can you date someone that has kids?
I used to be like, I don't want nobody baby daddy, whatever. But now I feel like that's something that I may have to accept. And I have somebody that's a mature. Hopefully his baby mama married and got kids and ain't thinking about him. But kids aren't a bad thing. You know, I have two kids, so I can't just be like, I don't want nobody baby daddy. Like, so, yeah, I could date somebody with kids. It depends on how many, but.
All
right. No. I don't want a man with five kids and 16 baby mamas. Like, that's a lot of women to juggle. Like, you got to pick one of your baby moms at that point and marry her, because, no, that's just too much. You're going to introduce me to all these women? Like, I can't. Mm.
So now, what if you dating somebody that got zero kids, and now they dealing with whatever it is that you have to offer?
Well, I'll say this: like, I know a lot of women always say that I don't got no baby daddy drama, but I really, truly don't. So, you know, I'm just a mother that's very involved with her kids and a very business savvy. My music is very important to me. So if you treat me right and stay clocked into what I got going on, I won't bring you no baggage, because I just have two children. I don't have no unfinished business with either one of my son's fathers. So, I mean, you coming into a respectful, resolved situation, so I expect the same from you. So I'm not afraid to date somebody without kids, because I know I'm going to treat him like a king. And he's not going to have no drama. So.
Yes. I hear that. You out here well crafted. Jesus spoke on you. All right? Shanice is touched by Jesus, everybody. You ain't better stop playing.
Yes.
All right. Listen now.
Hey, Ryan J here.
Everybody's definitely tapping in with us and you've been such a dope act on the show. Thank you so much for pulling up and just being authentically yourself.
Of course.
And you always look beautiful, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, really? I just put some lashes on and some lipstick. Because I was like, yo, I look crazy. I've been in bed all day. I was like, I don't feel good. I don't know if it's like food poisoning or the little virus that's been going around. Not COVID, but it's been like this little 24-hour like little stomach bug that everybody's been having around here. And my son caught it from daycare. And I'm just like, well, maybe I done got it. And I've just been in bed all day. I haven't been able to eat nothing. So I was like, I'm going to still do it, because I do not like to pull out. So okay. Here I am.
Well, you know what? Professionalism is 100% respected. Mm-hmm. How important, tell the people that's listening, how important is it to just be professional at all times? Like, tell them that.
Oh, that's another thing I taught. I was in artist development at a young age. And your word is your bond. All you have is your name. So being professional, that's another thing that I learned from my mom. Like, she wasn't in the tabloids a lot with mess. You know, she's always conducted her business from her band, from producers she's worked with talent agents, from touring. Her business is A1. And I think your business and your name can carry you to the next season in your life. And how you handle your now is how you walk into your next season. So if you don't have a good character, if you don't stay true to commitments and see things through, then you're not going to be able to really see longevity in this business, because everything is about who you know. It's smaller than you think. This person may be connected to that person, and that person know that person, and word travels quick. And you'll look up and you blackballed, or you're not getting opportunities because you handled one opportunity wrong. So... yeah, professionalism is very important.
Okay.
Yes.
It's very important.
Yeah, that thing is so funny.
Yeah. And it's almost like you already know when it's coming too. Like,
yeah.
Here we go.
I can think. Come to Dallas and do a show. We need it. I love Dallas. I want to come.
Come to New York and do a show. We need it over here. Come on.
Trying. They've been trying to get me to go to SOBs for the month, like a couple years, two years ago. SOBs. Is it still open?
I don't know what's going on in these streets. But, you know, we can find out what's going on.
Okay. Then, I don't care if it's a block party or what. I want to pull up wherever y'all at. I'm coming.
Well, first of all, I have a studio. I don't know if you know.
No, I didn't know.
In Brooklyn, okay, called
Loki. Okay.
You could pull up. You see me dancing.
It will. Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Pull Let up. Me
know. I know we're going to be in New York. My mom has a show. You know, we're originally from New York. I was born in Rochester. And we're coming. Oh, somebody was calling me. We're coming back there. My mom has a show in August. So maybe we could do something then.
Definitely.
Yeah, that'd be a dope vibe.
We're going to pull our resources and we're going to get you some dope visuals. Period. All right. But dope. Thank you so much for coming on here.
Thank you.
So what you got coming up, what we got to be on the lookout for, and where we can find you at.
Yes, officially too. Please go run them views up on YouTube. But I do have the full video to talk to me on my page. Be on the lookout for a new single. It's called Don't Care. New visual. I also have my beauty bar. I'm launching my aesthetic business on August 1st. So if you're in the Florida or Georgia area, you need a facial, you need a manicure, you need a wax, whatever, come see me. And be on the lookout for that. Yeah, more music, more good energy, and more love, man. Jers, thank you so much, man. It's always a pleasure to see you. And link up with you.
Always a pleasure. And hey, stop being a stranger. I got you.
I'm here.
Peace, everybody. So that was Shanice, y'all. Make sure y'all are really tapped into people that, like I said, are double what they do.
Yes.
They bring you quality because that's what they are here to do. Serve you.
Yes.
Now hit that follow button. It's free.
Yes.
I'm out of here. See y'all next week. Black Culture The Breakdown. Only two more episodes left after this. So there's one more and then one more again after that. And then we done for the season. God damn, so crazy. So sad.
Yes!
I need a break. Hit that follow button. I'm gonna see y'all later. Deuces!